into that.
All right, we're reading in Romans chapter 8 here. We're talking about manifesting the sons of God. And we're in between this place. We're calling it now the day of his power, because we've taken that from Psalm 110. We're getting into that, because you're in the last days now. And as a matter of fact, you're in the last of the last days. And basically, you're going to see the kind of power that is going to be displayed through the church that's never been displayed before. This is what's going to happen now. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. All right, I'm going to read starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we went through all of this. I mean, this is not something new here. Adoption, you know, it doesn't mean somebody from the outside of the family coming in. It means somebody inside the family, and they're being raised up by something called a pedagogue, and then they get into a place where they're able to take on the full responsibilities of manhood or adulthood, and they have a ceremony, adoption ceremony. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Glory to God. Say now.
Now.
All right. So we're talking about here again, sons of God. We said that sons doesn't mean the gender. It's talking about here mature offspring, and that the church must grow up. That when people are first come into the church, they're babies. They're called carnal Christians. There's Christians that have been born again, but still led by their feelings and their circumstances. And then a person begins to grow. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So you start growing, become now an adult. In other words, in the spirit, just like you would in the natural. And that adult Christian person is now on meat. And then you go from strong there to strong meat, and then there to the glory realm. So each one of these are the realms of the Word of God. So how the Word is working in your life, the degree of and the type and the quality of the intake has a lot to do with the strength of your output. And so you want to make sure you got a good diet of the Word of God, because one of the things that I think has been missing in the church is good food, being able to have a good strong diet so that it can produce high performance. So now we're saying we're down at this earnest expectation of the creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's groaning under the tribulation of things happening in the earth, waiting for God's people to manifest, to fix some things. And we said that basically the church is the world's only hope, because the enemy is the one who has been ruling the world, and the people who don't know God have no ability to come up against him. The church does. So we said that when we're talking about this, we're saying that we have to take on or build in a new identity. We have to take on or build in a new identity, because the inheritance that we have is coming to us proportional to the new identity that we take on, that we have to, in fact, grow up. And we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. So, as a church, we had to learn what a church really is. And we said that a church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And ekklesia was a term that is used when it's talking about the called out ones of the Roman Senate, or in the Greek, those who are political officials. So we said that when they heard the word ecclesia, they didn't hear what we hear today. We hear today, some people think a church is four walls. Matter of fact, if you look up a church in a dictionary, it'll tell you one place, it's a place, a building, and so forth and so on. Well, it's not a building. The church is a people. And the reason why the dictionary tells you that, because the dictionary doesn't tell you what a word means so much, it tells you how a word's used. And so in that, we see that a church is a called out body of people, that God picked you out of a bunch. In other words, whoever you are, God chose you. You didn't choose him. Well, I found the Lord. He wasn't lost. It was you that was lost. And so now as we come into the kingdom, now we're in this place of service where we get trained up. And God has brought forth fivefold ministries, apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to actually perfect the saints, for the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so now as we are doing that, why hasn't the work been done? And I'm saying that part of that is because of the leadership. So we are going to, we're addressing that now and talking about what we need to know. Now the church, again, if you look at it in its own definition, I give you my definition. It means a people, it means a ruling body. It is a governing body. It had to do with, for example, I gave you an example where Caesar would call in all of those who were assigned as his ambassadors to different areas of the nations. And he would call them into a Roman Senate, and that's where he would meet with them. He was called the emperor. Another word for him is king. But he did have kings out there in their territories because there were different promotions for them. You heard of Herod the Tetrarch, and you heard of Herod the King. So different levels that they could go to. And so in these different levels here, that he would call them in and now meet with them, and they would get instructions or whatever have you, or make laws, and then they'd go out here and implement what they had learned, they had agreed on here, or whatever have you. So they would go out and bring everything under the jurisdiction of their laws. Now, he then was a king of kings. So Jesus is a king of kings. So every place he sends you, he expects you to govern it. That's the church, all right? Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ. Got it? Now, we have to be raised up out of this molecular level. So most of the church has been spending time in the sense realm. And that's all right for a start, but now you got to grow up. Because the only way you can really take dominion into this earth is through the Spirit. So you've got to come on up, and the just shall live how? By faith. And that's outside of the five physical senses. So as you go up, I gave you the levels. I said, hey, there's a level which you have in the natural and molecular level, and then there's a level of you get in sound, and sound travels at whatever, 750 miles an hour, whatever it is, and you break the sound barrier. But notice how sound has dominion over the natural level, because you can get a woman who could sing a song maybe, and hit a high note and break a glass. So those, every level, the sound level, the light level, the thought level, and so forth, every level up to the spirit level has dominion, but the spirit level has dominion over every level. So now God wants you and I to walk in the spirit. He wants us to be up there so we can take dominion over all the creation of the earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay. So nothing really is supposed to be going on in this earth unless we allow it. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Nothing really is to be going on in this earth unless we allow it. Now, I put some things down here, and it said, it talks about the church, and the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. The church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. In fact, if you look at the church has been designed not to know one single limit. The church has been designed not to know one single limit. It shouldn't be anything in this earth that the church cannot fix. There should not be anything, any kind of wisdom, any whatever is needed. The church, it's coming out of the church. In the last day, the church. Now understand, the quality of input is directly proportional to the strength of the output. So if you haven't been eating good food, and I give you that that bit of knowledge, you say, well, how can I fix that? Or what can we do? So forth and so on. Well, you have no idea. But that's why you're in here. So we can raise you up so that you can look at this thing and take ownership over it, praise God, and fix some of the problems of the earth. The church has the answer to every problem. I'm going to say that again. The church has the answer to every problem. You heard what Albert Einstein said. He said the problems that we have today are not going to be able to be solved on the level that they were created, meaning that there's got to be another level by which the church has got to be operating so that the church can fix anything that's broke. Boy, I like that right there. See, Jesus said something. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Didn't he say that? And then he said, the things that I do, shall you do what? Also. So notice, he was doing some things, and they were trying, they were watching. Peter saw him walking on water. He said, whoa, now. Okay. Now, if that be you, if that's you now, you tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, well, come on. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Didn't he walk on the water? Now, what is he doing? He's going back to Eden. See, this is the ability Adam had before the fall. Jesus came, Lord have mercy. He was called by Paul the last Adam. And he was called that because his job was to reintroduce the kingdom. Amen. Where was the kingdom? In the garden. It was the atmosphere of heaven. You see, the truth is, you are more spirit than you are molecular. The people who don't know it is you. And the enemy is clever enough to try to keep you in this molecular world and try to keep you bound to it. He's trying to keep you bound to time, and you have dominion over that. You know you have dominion over that because you can go to the doctor, break a bone, and go to the doctor and say, it's going to take you, 9 weeks to get the bone healed. And you can come right to the surface. Man of God laid hand on you, pow, get you. Oh, praise God. See, okay, so you got dominion over time. You got dominion over space. You got dominion over matter. I'm telling you, now, the mind may be trying to fight me on that. And the reason why it is because it wants to tell you what to do. And what you got to do is renew that thing, but you're not going to walk by that. You're going to walk by your spirit. See, God's going to download it directly in your spirit, just like an iPod, and get you to walking like you're supposed to walk. Oh, you follow what I'm saying? Now, this is a lot I'm putting at you at once because your spirit is handling it. Your mind is swimming, and your mind trying to figure out what I'm talking about. But just let it bypass your mind for right now. Tell it you'll catch up with it later. And just listen to what I'm saying, because that's why you come in here. People need spiritual nourishment. You come in some places and they don't teach nothing but something that feeds the mind. Well, the spirit's still hungry. So the spirit's going to try to find something to eat. Now, that's why, and people accuse me of taking my members. Hey, wait, now. I'm only cooking food. And see, listen, if you are starving, listen, think about it. If you hadn't had anything to eat for 4 days and you smell some barbecue or whatever it is, and you smell it's coming, and you gonna track that smoke. Am I right about it? Well, your spirit is the same way, because man cannot live by bread alone, but he has to have some word somewhere. And that's all I'm doing in here, cooking good food. It just
the smell is going outside the building. It's going all the way to the south side. It's going all the way downtown.
Okay, all right. Okay, now. So, let's look at this. Turn to Acts chapter 17, please. Acts 17. And let me know when you get to Acts chapter 17. Praise God. Are you there? All right. Now, I said Acts 17. Why don't you do something? Put something right there. And let's go to John chapter 10. And we'll go back to Acts 17 from there. John chapter 10. Flow. Okay. I just got the word. I got a flow now. All right? But do you follow what I'm saying here? See, Jesus came to bring a power shift. See? And the enemy knew that. So he's trying to keep people from rising. And if he can make them not get certain teachings, then he can keep them from being exposed to that new level of knowledge. Say amen to that. And you got to grow, man, you got to move forward, man. They teach a different thing in eighth grade than they do in kindergarten. Say amen to that. And you can't live off of kindergarten food all your life. You got to move on, man. God wants increase. Am I right about it? Boy, if you're the same place you are this year as you were 2 years ago, you're in the wrong place. All right, look what it says here. And look what it says in verse 30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you of my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, then the scriptures cannot be broken, cannot be set aside, cannot be annulled. So I'm saying here that he called them gods. Now there's some kind of thinking. He called them gods. Now, if I have, it says over here, we read in our opening scripture that we are the children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Now, if I have a dog and that dog has a child, meaning an offspring, what is that offspring? It's still a dog. If I had a cat and that cat had a litter, offspring, what is that litter? Those are cats. Now, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to help you. If I had a horse, and the horse had a horse, well, I answered that one myself. My point to you, if you expect the descendants of a dog to be a dog, and you expect the descendants of a cat to be a cat, and you expect the descendants of a horse to be a horse, what do you expect the descendants of God to be? My point to you is this little g in verse 34 is not there in the original Greek. Because there's no big uppercase and lowercase. You see, let me show you something else. Can I help you? Look at John chapter 17 then, please. John chapter 17. All right. Let me know when you get to John 17. All right, I'm going to start reading at verse 21. No, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may, pardon me, they may all be one, hold it, wait a minute, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now watch this. We talk about oneness now. He goes on down to the next verse, and he says, I and them, and thou and me. Come on now. He's talking about one. He's not talking about two. There's no two in here. And if I take you and call you to turn back to a scripture, can you do this for me? Turn back to Isaiah chapter 42. Let that go. Let it go. Isaiah chapter 42, please. Isaiah chapter 42. See, the enemy is trying to hide from you your identity. And he's used religion to do it. Isaiah chapter 42, let me know when you get there. Are you there? Look at verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to who? Another. Neither my what? Praise to graven images. You see what he said? My glory I will not give to another. God doesn't give his glory to another. Well, in John chapter 17, he said, I'm going to give you my glory. Why? Because we are in him. We are not outside of him. He's not going to give his glory to another. Now, are you with me? Turn to Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 9. Amen. You just need something to eat. That's all that's wrong with you. Acts chapter 9, please. Let me know when you get there. I'm going to Acts 17, but I haven't gotten there yet because I'm going to Acts chapter 9 now. Verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, meaning those Christians, whether they, or believers, they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art you, Lord, thou Lord? And the Lord said, I am who? Jesus, whom you persecuted. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. I am who? Jesus. I am who? Jesus. Now, who was Paul persecuting? He was persecuting the believers. But who did Jesus say the believers were? Him. 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 I'm telling you, you in the Godhead. I'm saying that you've got to understand that a lot of your inheritance is based on your identity. That if you never got revelation of who you really are, then there's a place you can't go. Are you with me? Oh, yes, folks. It's like all praying to God, and he's far away. Lord, Lord, Lord. See, now wait a minute. The Bible says, he said, I'm with you. I will never leave you, come on, or forsake you. He's in you right now. You are in him. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You're not going to heaven. You're already seated there. Come on now. I'm saying, all this religion did, it put it God way over there somewhere, and I'm way over here somewhere, and never the twain look like they're going to meet. And I'm telling you that's not true, because part of the access of that power has got to be that you know that you and God are one. We are one. Say amen to that. That thing has been fought I don't know how long. That same theology right there has been fought. Now look what it says over in Acts chapter 17. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
We're going to fix some stuff in your life.
Amen.
Oh, once you know who you are, you know you. When you know who you are, all of a sudden you act a little different. You say, well, man, now, hey, you go in the lawyer's office, you find out you got some rights and some folks just stole your rights and so forth, and the lawyer just showed you chapter and verse where these rights are yours and so forth. You walk out of that office and say, hey, wait a minute. I want my stuff back now. Are you following what I'm saying? All of a sudden, something happens to you. Why? Because you just gained knowledge. You just gained knowledge. Now, let's show you this, and we'll go to 2 Peter. Let's go to Acts chapter, what did I say? Okay, Acts chapter 17, and look what it says here in verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also, keep going, his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Now, I'm just saying that because we are his offspring. We are his offspring. We are his offspring. The same thing that's in him is in us. If I have a river and I take it and get a cup of water out of it, the same thing is in that cup is in that river. Am I right about it? Coming over to 2 Peter now in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory to God. I said glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1. You're there, aren't you? I'm telling you, folks, we're about to see some power come through the church. See, the devil knows who you are, but he knows when you know you don't know who you are. Did that make sense to you? I'll show you that. Look what it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied to you through the what? Knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his what? Divine power has given unto us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the what? Knowledge of him that has called us to what? Glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be what? Partakers of the what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm telling you, you have the divine nature of God. You have the divine nature of God. Your nature is to act like God. I'm telling you, your nature is to speak things and decree things. Say amen to that. Your nature is not a nature of fear or nature of anxiety or doubt or all that kind of stuff. Your nature is nature of faith, nature of love, nature of righteousness. Watch this. And a nature of justice. Turn to Psalm chapter 82, please. Am I turning you to too many scriptures? Amen. Psalm chapter 82. Praise God. Woo, Lord, I done preached hard this thing. Psalm chapter 82. Let me know when you get there with your smart self. Psalms chapter 82. Look what it says in verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he's judging among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept what the wicked are doing? I'm putting that in my own words now. Selah. What does Selah mean? It means pause for a minute and reflect on what he just asked you or said. Verse 3, defend the poor and who? Fatherless. Do justice to the who? Afflicted and needy. Deliver who? The poor and needy. And do what to them? Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. Why? Because they're walking in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what? Out of course. I have said, you are who? God's, and all of you are who? Children of the Most High. Say amen to this. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this identity is very key for you to inherit or get possession of the inheritance that God has for you, because it comes in proportion to your identity. Now, the enemy works to keep you from rising to this level. And I saw one of the teachings I was doing on television the other day, and I was talking about Paul's thorn and how that the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul sought the Lord three times to take this thorn from him. But God said, my grace is sufficient, that my power is made perfect in your weakness. You see what I'm saying? He was telling Paul, Paul, I've given you grace that you can get rid of the thorn. Say amen to that. Lord, have mercy. See, and people have read it, and it says, because God, it said, because I was not to be exalted above measure, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. Now, it's almost like, I don't want Paul to get too big-headed here. I'm going to give him the devil. No, God is not using the devil to teach you. He is using the Word of God to teach you, the Holy Ghost to teach you. Say amen to this. Now, you can get off in some place and get out from under the covenant, and the devil will teach you. But I'm saying that God is now showing Paul, he wanted Paul to be exalted. He said to you and me, he said for us to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt us in due time. God is going to exalt his people. I'm telling you, in these last days, you are about to be exalted. God is about to let the devil know who his people are. Say amen to that. I'm telling you, this society is going to know you. People going to want to be Christians right and left. They're going to want to join your group. They're going to want to come and see who you are, what you've got. And I'm telling you this, it's not going to be long from now. Praise God. Are you with me? All right. Now, in this, so the enemy tries to keep you down. Now, let's go to a scripture. Now, this is found in Deuteronomy 7. Let's just go there. I could say a lot of things between now and there, but I won't, only because of time. I've really got to get out of town here today. But look at this right here. I want you to look at this. Praise God. Just stay with me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Have you got it? When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations, greater what? And mightier than thou. All right, now that's a very significant point, because he said, these are going to be greater and mightier than yourself. The point he's trying to make here is that people naturally think that they have more power than the devil. Now I'm talking about the natural mind thinking. But the devil has power to deceive. Now, God has stripped him of this direct power, but he's got power to deceive. And my point to you is, and not, I'm not trying to give him any credit here, I'm saying he won't deceive us because we have the power of discernment. But he deceived. So what he can do is he can use people and put people in positions and things like that, and they think it's them thinking of all these things, but the enemy at the same time is using them to establish what he wants. Did you follow that? People who think they know and can be strong in those times. For example, Peter said, "Jesus, even though they leave you, I will never leave you." Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. What? Now understand, this is what we think. Now I had to do a little research on this. Lord have mercy, help me get to my notes, Holy Ghost. No human is stronger than the devil. This is without God. You are not human, you're divine. Amen. Now, y'all, stay with me. Don't turn me off. I said, don't turn me off. No human being has the ability to separate the truth from a lie when the devil is talking. This is people without God now. See? They think they can handle the devil's attacks. So here's Peter. He thinks he's Mr. Big Stuff. Well, I shouldn't say it like that because he was the first pope of the church. He's a good man. But he thought he had something. But when they put pressure on him, that Hittite spirit, that's a spirit of terror. That spirit came in, and the next thing you know, Peter said, "Wait a minute, I wasn't with the man." Now, God's going to give him another chance. Somebody else comes by. Say, "Weren't you with him?" Jesus was over there being interrogated and beat. And he said, "Weren't you with him?" Nope. I told the lady that came by here just a few minutes ago, I wasn't with her. Then they gave him another chance. Came by there and said, "Wait a minute, you were one of them. You were with the Galileans." He said, "Wait a minute." I'm not going to say what he said, because the Bible says he cursed and swore. About church folk who are carnal getting mad and cursing. Y'all don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me because we all right. We say amen to them. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying until you get up in the spirit, can you control this whole thing? So I'm saying, here's the enemy. See, he knows how to work game on people. Let me just finish this. Can I finish this? Because this is very important. Okay, the Jebusite spirit. That's where I want to get to. Now, in the Hebrew, this is a name that has to do with spirits that tread or stomp on other people. It's a stomp down spirit or a beat down spirit. Are you with me? Now this Jebusite spirit, the reason why I'm telling you this is because God is trying to give you knowledge to rise. But that spirit is coming in trying to beat you down. So now, in this, It is a spirit. Lord have mercy. Can I just read my notes here for just a minute? So this is a spirit. Lord have mercy. I got so much. I'm a shandabashata. Glory. Can I take my time on this? Don't rush. This spirit is a spirit that is designed to keep you from growing. It is a spirit designed to make you feel small. It even causes certain people to feel that people or a race is inherently inferior. The spirit does that. Now, this is what I'm saying. When we come into this vengeance and recompense, don't get mad at people. Because without God, they're no match for those spirits. Come on now. It also is a spirit that makes people feel they don't have certain rights to opportunities. Make them feel small, make them feel like nobodies. And this is a spirit that works in India to keep people in the caste systems. If you're born poor, you're gonna stay poor. This is a spirit that worked in the United States to keep slavery going. Don't get mad at people. This is a spirit that promotes racism. This is a spirit that sometimes a husband or wife would come and they would slander the other person or talk about the other person and so forth and beat them down. It's called mental abuse. And it's just as powerful as physical abuse because it can run you right out of your mind. Do you hear what I'm saying now? I'm saying it's a beat down spirit. Now, these people who have this spirit operating in them a lot of times, they do not hesitate to put down somebody or humiliate them. The idea is to prevent them from growing and to keep these people feeling small and to keep them small and from asserting authority. Do you hear what I'm saying to you now? So now you've got people like David, for example. And David comes to the front line. And he said, what are y'all running from? Said this giant. So notice what the giant is doing. He's busy making them feel small. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that the person may have more education than you. And if the spirit's working, it'll make you feel small. Come on now, the person may have more. Are you following what I'm saying, see? More money, whatever have you, see? But, you know, understand that spirit really been running in the church. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. So here's David. He comes in front line. He said, I can take the guy. He said, man, this man bigger than you. He's been trained in war from his youth and so forth. He said, no, I got it. And Saul tried to hang his armor on him. He tried to put something natural on him to fight with. But David didn't need but one sword, and that was in his mouth. Say amen now. Come on, stay with me. And he walks up to him, and the first thing the Goliath does is he hurls a curse at him and basically calls him a nobody. See, that was supposed to discourage him and make David pick up his little lunch and go home. But David had a new identity. You got to hear me. See, if you don't have that, you're going to meet some strong men. And you cannot take and spoil a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man. These are strong men, seven of them. And so now what happened? David, he whirls his curse at David. David said, okay. He said, big guy, this day, the Lord's gonna deliver you into my hand. Watch this. And move aside, because all
gonna feed them to the buzzards of the earth. The buzzards are gonna have a feast today. Say amen to that. And then David does something to affirm his confidence in God and who he is. He runs to the battle. Boy, I like that. He runs to the battle. See, don't be talking like God because you have a divine nature and then don't step up. Once you speak, step up. I like what one man say, just fake at him. Now you follow what I'm saying? Wipe them out. Because of the divine nature that's in you. You got God in you. There's a king in there somewhere. How about Gideon? Here is Gideon. Angel comes to him, says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. Gideon said, wait a minute, who, me? He said, whoa, now, I'm least in my father's house. I don't have much education. We are the poorest tribe among these people. He said, wait a minute, hush. I'm going to use you to set Israel free. Now Gideon gonna fleece God. See, fleece me. He puts out a fleece. He said, let me make sure you're telling me the truth. He said, now, in the morning when I wake up, make that calf skin, whatever it is, make it wet and make the ground around it dry. Went to sleep, woke up, and that's where it was. He said, wait a minute, let me do that again. That might have been a mistake. Are you following what I'm saying? Needing something natural to give him confidence in something supernatural. And here's what he did. He went out there and picked 33,000 men to go up against this army. What did God tell him? You got too many for me. You see, the enemy wants you to stay small. The Jebusite, the stump down, the beat down, the inferior spirit. You follow what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? No more will you be a victim of a Jebusite spirit. I cancel the activity of that lying demon, that spirit that told you you're not gonna make it, that you don't have enough of this, enough education, you ain't pretty enough, you ain't this. I cancel that spirit in your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your society, I cancel it right now, in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. You have the divine nature of God in you. Now talk like God. Walk like God. Think like God. Behave like God. Last place. Go over to Isaiah 61 real quick. Woo! Is that what time it is? Isaiah 61. Y'all with me?
All the way.
We're going to flow here.
All the way.
The devil is a liar. Somebody lied to you. Your name is in the paper. Isaiah 61, very quickly. You're there, right? All right, we've been going over this now for a couple of Sundays and whatnot. All right, let's look at this. This is where we're going to finish up. Okay. Because the devil knows that you can annihilate any situation on this earth. Come on now. See, he knows who you are. But he knows when you don't know who you are. He said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? Folks, you're not going to change things in this earth significantly until you know who you are. Well, I'll read this, and we're going to close out. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me,
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. All right, the last thing. I want to deal with that a little bit. The spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. You know, I had to read this several times before I figured out that's a spirit. It's called the spirit of heaviness. Now, as I went and I began to do research on it, I saw the spirit of heaviness in this book called Strong Man. And it's saying that that spirit manifest in the form of sorrow, sadness, trouble, despair, hopelessness, loneliness, discouragement, rejection, self-pity, even gluttony. Do you hear what I'm saying now? Gloominess. That's the spirit of heaviness. And the Bible talks about they that mourn. That means to grieve for, or to utter in times of sorrow and things like that, and having a mourning in your life, not happy about things. Now, I'm only saying that these were strong men, but he's saying here, the day of the vengeance of our God. And I read to you over in Hebrews 10, verse 30, that God said that vengeance is mine, and I will, come on, recompense, saith the Lord. And I looked up the word vengeance, and I know you remember what we said about it. We said that when you're talking about vengeance, you're talking about it's nothing to do with hate or resentment, but it means affliction proceeding from love of justice. Say love of justice. And it is necessary for sometimes punishing the offender or the enemy. And it has no hatred about people. And recompense means to compensate. It means to pay back. It means to return in equivalent anything done or suffered. And I'm saying to you now that the enemy has to pay damages for everything that you have suffered as a result of his assault on your life. Do you hear what I'm saying to you now? So, what I did is, as God was preparing me for this lesson, I saw something. One, this spirit of heaviness. And that this spirit of heaviness can come on people, and it can cause them to be sad and sorrowful and so forth. But God has an answer for that spirit. That he is saying here that he's going to give them a garment of praise for the spirit, come on, of heaviness. And go over to Psalm chapter 30, please. Psalm chapter 30. Glory to God. Psalm chapter 30. You see, heaviness, unhappy. And I'm telling you, folks, when I was being raised up as a child, when I saw my mom and dad argue and fight and so forth, I remember it made me sad. And they will continue to do it, and I was sad all the time. And that spirit of heaviness. But you got to watch that spirit, because a companion spirit with the spirit of heaviness is a spirit of infirmity. because the spirit of heaviness opens up the door for the spirit of infirmity to come into your life. When we were over in Africa, you can look at the kids and they'll look up at you and you'll see in their eyes there's a loneliness, there's an unhappiness, there's a heaviness. No wonder there's so much sickness in the land, because as long as that heavy spirit is there, it opens the door to infirmity, to cancers, to all kinds of growths in your body, and so forth and so on. And I'm saying that when God delivered his people out of Egypt, they had been 400 years in slavery, but God said something about them. When I deliver them out of there, I'm going to bring them out with an oil of joy. I'm going to bring them out with a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I'm telling you now, we need the vengeance of the Lord. And people in the last days, that's when the vengeance was coming in, because Jesus didn't use the vengeance in his time. But soon as you get to the book of Acts, all of a sudden you saw the vengeance of the Lord. You saw a man who was blocking the way to the governor receiving the gospel, and all of a sudden Paul said to him, "You will be blind for a season." And you saw another time when Herod tried to block the way to the Christians' expansion, and worms ate his body. I'm telling you now, it's the vengeance of the Lord. It's not that we hate anybody, because you're not going to have to get even with anybody. I'm telling you, God is coming in, and he's now going to fight your battle. Whatever the enemy has taken from you, now it's time for payback. It's time for recompense. Now, I'm here to say that God is not after people. He's after Satan. That's who is the one who stole it. The people were just used. The devil is a thing. And God is going to bind the strong man and take from him everything that he's been holding and bring it back into the kingdom of God. Folks, I needed the vengeance of the Lord. You see, I wondered. I said, why did you give me this message? I mean, how did I get this? He showed me a scripture, and it comes from Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Just put it up on the board, please. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." You see, when you're thirsty, you can get something from God that folks who are not thirsty cannot get. You see, you haven't been there with me when we were believing for this mall and the enemy had tried to cut me off. He had sent people downtown to even change the zoning while I was asleep at night. But I prayed. I asked God, "I need your help, Lord. I can't defend myself against the enemy without you." And no, God had to move in and do something. I'm telling you, we couldn't have started the things that we've started. The Bible school, the business school. Look at the bank. It took 7 years. But soon as I discovered the vengeance of the Lord, I began to pray the hand of the Lord into this situation. All of a sudden, it manifested. I'm telling you how many things God has for you that have not been done, that the enemy, through seductive means, has kept you from your wealthy place. I'm telling you, those days are over. Whatever the enemy has stolen from you, whatever he's denied from you, he's got to give it up. Folks, I had a thirst because the enemy tried to kill both of my daughters. I'm telling you, one of them, the nurse told me she came down with asthma so bad, until the next morning the nurse said, "I'm glad you stayed here all night and prayed." He said, if you hadn't prayed, she said, "I'm telling you, we thought she wasn't going to make it." You see, the enemy tried to take her out, but I began to seek the Lord. I began to call on God. I began to call on my help of the vengeance of the Lord. Oh, I can tell you some things that you don't even know about, my friend, but God pours water on ground that's thirsty. Look what he says in Psalm chapter 30. Verse 5. For his anger, Psalm 30 and verse 5, endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. You might have been going through, but you're about to come out into a wealthy place. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Put it up on the board, please. Thou hast turned for me my mourning to dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. No more sadness. No more weeping. No more crying. No more. I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Forget this today. Hallelujah. Because God didn't mean for you every time somebody see you and ask you how you're doing, you say, I'm going through. Come on through. Start giving God some praise. Come on, put it on. Sit down, sit down. I got to get out of here. Somebody here, you don't know Jesus, but God brought you here because he's about to turn your mourning into gladness. Whoever it is in this house and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to pray with you right now and break the power of the devil over your life, and you will prosper and be in health from this day forward. Whoever it is, right now, get up out of your chair. Come up here, stand with me right now. Come on, whoever.